Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us here in person and all of you who are joining us online. We have a few announcements this morning. One, it is the third Sunday of the month, so we will take up our basket offering after worship. And this month it's going to the Teen Parent Program. Also, the gift card raffle for the scholarship money is getting started again. So if you'd like to donate a gift card to that to be raffled off, you can get that to Joe Davis. He is not here today. He is preaching somewhere else. But Rosala is going to help sell tickets for the raffle after worship. She'll be at the back of the sanctuary. You can get one ticket for $1, six for $5, 13 for 10. I think by the end of the next few weeks, I will have that memorized after announcing it. But there's also a palette that's been painted into an American flag that James and Marie donated. There's also a raffle for that, same price on the tickets. Men's group is meeting tomorrow night. Next Sunday is a very special Sunday in the life of the church. It's Pentecost Sunday, so we hope that you'll join us next Sunday. And in just a couple of weeks, the second annual Bluegill Bash in memory of Gary Hedrick will be happening. Last year, his grandson Hunter hosted this fishing tournament, and he's going to do it again. All the proceeds will go to the men's group to help the men's group send our kids to camp and to the youth gathering next year. If you would like to purchase tickets, you can do that ahead of time by reaching out to Hunter. The information is on our Facebook page. Or you can attend the day of and get tickets then. It's at Brandon Conrad's Pond. I don't think I have any other newsy announcements, but I do have something exciting. We went shopping this week and we purchased a new microphone for me. So this will be the last Sunday I use this microphone. We sort of discovered that this headpiece is likely more than 10 years old, and my transmitter pack is a lot older than that. And so this will be the last day that I use it. Hopefully next Sunday, some of the challenges we've been having will be fixed because of that. But because of your generous gifts to Holly Grove Lutheran Church, we're able to make purchases like this that make worship a little bit easier here in the sanctuary and as we stream it online for all of those who attend worship online. We have a few birthdays this week. Judy McLean, Amy Horn, Isabel Heitman, and Joe Davis. Also, Herbert and Debbie Frank have their wedding anniversary. And celebrating, remembering their baptisms are Abby Hearn and Logan Turner. Let us pray. See, that won't be here next Sunday. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In the baptismal waters, our old life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean, quench our thirst, and nurture both crops and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving water of baptism, the outpouring of the Spirit of the new creation. Wash away our sin and all that separates us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all. Satisfy the world's need through this living water. Where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Spirit reigns forever. Amen.
Amen.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, your only Son was taken into the heavens, and in your presence intercedes for us. Receive us and our prayers for all the world, and in the end, bring everything into your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Sovereign and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. And if the confirmands would come forward as well. Good morning, Sawyer. Hi, Isabel. Maddie, Rosella. Hi, Cameron. Hi, Kate. And there's Maddie. Good morning, everybody. Want to come sit by me, Cameron? I would like that. So in just a minute, after you all go to Children's Church, we're going to read the gospel lesson. And the gospel lesson is going to talk about how, as Jesus was teaching his disciples, he was offering them a blessing. And when he was offering them a blessing, he ascended into heaven. And so we're going to stay here and we're going to think about what it means for us and how we live our lives that Jesus ascended into heaven. But I wanted us to think about Jesus giving his disciples a blessing. I kind of wrestled this week because blessing is one of those church words where we can use it in a sentence, but it's hard to really define what a blessing is. So one of the ways we use blessing is the word for a prayer before a meal, where we say, "Will you offer the blessing?" And we give God thanks for the food and the hands that prepared it. But the way that we're talking about blessing when Jesus gives his disciples a blessing is a little bit different. So I tried to figure out how to put it into words. And does everybody hear that ringing, or is it just me? Do you hear the ringing? Is it? You're hearing it? So will you grab the mic from the altar for me and we'll... Neil, maybe we'll turn my headset off and I'll use the handheld for a minute. So to offer a blessing and what it means in the Bible, it means to offer words of strength in places where we might be weak so that God's strength can help us in our weakness, or so that the words of a blessing can increase or make bigger our joy and our peace. And so I don't know if you've ever recognized this, but always at the end of the service, I get to offer a blessing to everybody where I say, "The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with mercy and grace." Do you remember that part of the service? No, well, make sure at the end of the service you listen for it today. So at the beginning of this service, we gather in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then as we leave this service, I bless you with the saying the Lord's name three times. So we gather in the name of the triune God, and we're sent forth in the name of the triune God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. So our service starts in God's name, and our service ends in God's name, and that's one of the ways that we bless other people. And so I was wondering this morning if I could offer you a blessing. And so maybe we can go gather at the font, and as I offer you a blessing, you can dip your hands in the water and make the sign of the cross on your forehead, like in baptism, and I can offer you words. So will you come with me around the font? Cameron, do you want somebody to help lift you up? Maddie, will you lift Cameron up so he can dip in the font too? Okay, so everybody, if you want, dip your finger in the font. Get some water on your finger. And then make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Make the sign of the cross. And I want to bless you by saying, you are a gift from God. May God bless you with love and joy, and may God give you a kind heart and a heart filled with courage so that you can help right some of the wrongs in the world and make the world a better place. Amen. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church.
Help us
to live out
your love in the world
so that we can bless others
in your name.
Amen.
All right, you can go to Children's Church with Isabel and Tina this morning.
The first reading is from the first chapter of Acts. Luke writes, "In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the time or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from the first chapter of Ephesians. "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting his hands, he blessed them.
While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were constantly in the temple, blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother, and our risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I gotta tell you, I'm pretty excited. I almost want to sing the song, "I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it." Because these three Sundays, today and the next two Sundays, are three of the highest and holiest days in the entire church year. Today we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next Sunday we celebrate Pentecost, the outpouring of God's Spirit upon all people. And then the Sunday after that, the Holy Trinity. These three celebrations, or feasts as we call them in the church, these holiest of days, are three of the six highest festival days in the entire church year. Now you might be saying, that's nice, PA, but you know, the ascension of our Lord, isn't that a little bit of a stretch, one of the highest and holiest days of the whole church year? And it's true. The very thing that we celebrate today is one of those days that does rank pretty low on our list of holidays. Interestingly enough, we get the word holiday from Holy Day. But let's face it, Ascension Day just isn't anything like Easter or Christmas. And it doesn't help that Ascension always falls on a Thursday, right? It's 40 days after Easter, and so if we didn't choose to observe the Ascension on the Sunday following it, then it would be even more obscure of a holiday or holy day than it already is. But the truth is that in the church calendar, it is one of the six highest and holy days of the year. We've got Christmas and Epiphany, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost, and the Holy Trinity Sunday. But why is it that in most places, Ascension Day barely gets a nod in passing? Even in churches, why does it get the short end of the stick? Well, I think partly it's because there's no commercial engine behind it, driving it, right? In our culture, Ascension is not a money-making holiday. But I think it's also because we don't really know what to do with the Ascension. But to the first and earliest Christians, the Ascension was an incredibly significant event. It was so important that it is included in our creeds, which came about in the early hundreds. Each week, whether we say the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, we say that we believe that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. It's part of our great Thanksgiving liturgy at the table every Sunday, remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension. We await his coming again in glory. The Ascension was one of the very first holy days to be commemorated by the early church centuries before Christmas. So what is it that we actually celebrate on this festival, this holy day of the Ascension of our Lord? Well, in today's gospel lesson and in the passage that we read from Acts, we read that following his resurrection from the dead, the risen Christ, after having spent 40 days with his followers, ascended into heaven. We believe this is true, but can we articulate why it's important and what it means for how we live our lives as followers of Jesus? The risen Christ spent 40 days following his resurrection with his disciples, helping them to recover and heal from the trauma that they endured after witnessing their beloved teacher and friend be brutally killed. And much like an intensive class, Jesus spent those 40 days preparing them for when he would return to God, the other two members of the Trinity. Now, yes, Jesus had already spent 3 years with the disciples, teaching them and helping explain the things of the kingdom of God to them. But during those 40 days, Jesus helped them to reinterpret everything that they'd seen and experienced with him through the lens of his death and resurrection. And yet, based on one of the questions we hear them asking this morning, I'm not sure that they realized that he was about to leave them. They say, Lord, is this the time when you're going to restore the kingdom? Their expectations of Jesus were quite different than what was to come. I think that they were eager, and they were so focused on what Jesus was doing that I think that if Jesus had stayed any longer, that they would have continued to follow him around. Jesus, where are you going, and what are you doing, and what does it mean? They were so eager and anxiously awaiting the kingdom of Jesus. They wanted him to go ahead and fix everything and bring about the kingdom that he had been talking about. But instead of Jesus doing all of this himself with his physical human body, in his physical body, he ascended into heaven. And then he sent the Holy Spirit so that his disciples, his followers, could become his body in the world and carry on his ministry in his name. Jesus has two bodies, right? His physical human body that is now with God, and his body, the church. We are his body, and we are called to be witnesses to the ends of the earth of the transforming power of God's love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. And Jesus, in giving the Holy Spirit, calls us to transform the world with God's love. This call is given to us in our baptism, and we are to spend our whole lives living it out. When we are baptized, we are welcomed into the body of Christ with these words: "Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming love to all the world." This is the call of all the baptized. And yes, it's a big call, but God has given us everything we need in the Holy Spirit, whose coming we celebrate next Sunday. This call to give thanks and praise to God and to bear God's creating and redeeming love to all the world is a call that we are reminded of each and every Sunday when we come to worship. In your bulletin, there are four parts of the worship service. We gather, we hear the word, we eat, we have our meal, and we are sent. We always gather so that we can be sent. Because after being scattered throughout the week, we come back here to gather in the name of the triune God so that we can praise God, so that we can pray, so that we can hear God's word, so that we can be fed and nourished and forgiven at the table, transformed by God's love and grace, so that we can be sent, sent out in the name of the triune God into the world that God so loves, to carry on the ministry of Jesus as Jesus' body in the world. The ascension reminds us that following Jesus doesn't mean standing still in one place looking up to heaven. It reminds us that we don't wait out our whole week here in the sanctuary or in worship. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that we're called into worship, into the body of Christ, so that we can be sent out, forgiven, fed and nourished, sent in peace to love and serve the world and all people as Jesus' body. Sisters and brothers, may God bless us with the strength and grace and courage to carry on the ministry of our risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ by bearing God's creative and redeeming love to all the world as Jesus' body. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Ever-present God, root your church firmly in you. Let us neither become entranced staring up into the heavens, nor distraught by the suffering of the world. Teach us to see you in every face, every place, and every moment. Risen Lord, in your mercy. God of the cosmos, you cradle creation in your loving arms and anoint it with signs of your presence. In the budding of flowers, the birth of a baby, and the formations of the land and the sky, reveal your abundant life. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, your reign is above us, around us, beneath us, and beside us. As you rule the cosmos with justice and mercy, pour out your spirit upon those in authority, that they may serve humbly and justly. Risen Lord, in your mercy. God of companionship, provide clarity and directions for those experiencing life transitions in births and deaths, new employment and new relationships, divorces and departures. We pray for those receiving new diagnoses or undergoing treatment for illness or injury, especially Bill, Boyd, Scott, Paul and Carolina, John, Mickey, Kent, Bobby and Jana, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Risen Lord, in your mercy. Eminent God, in you we live, move, and have our being. Draw us closer to you and clothe us in your power. Encourage those preparing for baptism, those affirming their baptism, and all who are assuming new roles in this congregation's ministries. Risen Lord, in your mercy. God of welcome, you call us to feast at your eternal banquet. We give thanks for those who came before us, those who have witnessed to your love. Risen Lord, in your mercy.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of this bread, reveal to us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out in service to the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. When we eat this bread, we share the body of Christ. And when we drink this cup, we share the blood of Christ. Reveal yourself to us, O Lord, in the breaking of bread, as once you revealed yourself to your disciples. The risen Christ invites us to this table. Come, eat, and be satisfied.
Take away the sin of the world.
And the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and with this meal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia.
Thanks be.